Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Now, a Stoop story by Joel Green about how his geek tendencies led him to a sci-fi fanatic's dream job.
A lot of people think that astronomers are fascinated by the night sky, and I think many are. But I grew up outside of New York City, and there wasn't actually a lot to see there. It wasn't that pretty. It wasn't really until I went to really dark locations like Arizona or Hawaii that I was really able to, really appreciate the beauty of the sky. That's not what drew me into it. This is not going to surprise you, but I like science fiction. I like galactic empires. I like, you know, weird exotic worlds. I like strange alien species. I want to know what's on those dots. What was out there, right? And so I got into planet construction. That's right, construction and destruction. I study the formation and birth and destruction of planets around our galaxy. Planets like ours are born around stars like our sun in groups of hundreds or even thousands from these big clouds of hydrogen gas that are collapsing on themselves. And inside that gas is just tiny little dust grains, smaller than grains of sand, but so many of them that they can turn into these massive structures. And the planets just form as little crumbs around those collapsing cores that are making stars. So our sun formed 4.6 billion years ago, and the Earth and all the other planets in our solar system formed about a few million years after. The thing is, if you watch Star Trek, and I do, you might think that there's life everywhere. You know, that every planet they run into is teeming with aliens. If you look around our own solar system, allow me to give you a quick review. Mercury is about 700 degrees on the warm side and freezing on the cold side. Venus rains acid. Mars basically doesn't have air and global dust storms. And Jupiter doesn't even have a surface, so good luck. So which is it, right? I mean, is the universe full of life, or are we alone? So I do a lot of observing. Okay, I've been out to places, and a lot of my observing is in the highest and driest places. That's where the really impressive telescopes are on the ground. And I do a lot of observing in Hawaii, and everyone says, oh, great, Hawaii, that's a tropical paradise. I'm so jealous. But my experience in Hawaii is a little bit different than that of a typical tourist, and I'm just going to paint a quick picture for you. When I go to Hawaii, I stay up all night so that I can, you know, do nighttime observing, so I don't really see the sun. The summit of Mauna Kea, where the telescopes are, is around 14,000 feet altitude. So it's obviously very dark. It's extremely cold. It's below freezing a lot of the time, so there's sometimes snow. It's very, very dry and barren, so it looks like the surface of Mars. And there's not that much oxygen, so I make some very interesting scientific decisions at that altitude. And the saddest thing, actually, is that the low oxygen makes the cones in my eyes not work as well, so the night sky doesn't appear as impressive as you would think. Unless you take a hit of oxygen off one of the tanks, then I can tell you it looks pretty impressive. And oxygen, nothing else. Anyway, you have to picture me hanging kind of over the surface of a 10-foot-high railing, piping liquid helium, which is a few degrees above absolute zero, and I have a little face mask for this, into a giant metal thermos bottle at 7 a.m. after having done an entire night of observing, and you kind of get my picture of Hawaii. I really loved it. But one of the discoveries that I made while I was there and have, you know, is that we discovered that planets are not always the first planets that you started with. So solar systems sometimes engulf and destroy their own planets because the gas that's still rushing in could force them inside. And we've seen evidence of this in real time. I've watched stars flare to 100 times in brightness with those same telescopes in Hawaii and fade back as if they had just grabbed about a Jupiter's mass worth of material, which is a pretty amazing idea because, by the way, don't worry, it's not going to happen here. It'd be very early on. But it's an amazing idea to think that our solar system, the one we're living in now, was not the first iteration, but the last one to survive the last little cataclysmic burst. So when I watch Star Trek, I notice some kind of funny things. There's an episode where the Enterprise goes to visit a T-Tauri system. I was so excited when Captain Picard said T-Tauri stars because I study T-Tauri stars. They're young stars. That's amazing. Everything in the episode is totally wrong. And that's when I realized that I know more than the characters on Star Trek. Like, quite a bit more. I get to work with the greatest telescopes in the world every day. And I must be pretty terrible to hang out with at a science fiction movie. The thing is, though, when we look at these systems, this is an amazing question for me, this burning question of what is a typical solar system like? And if I were on the bridge of the Enterprise and I were surveying one of these systems, how would I describe our own home solar system? And would I expect to find that elsewhere? What is that saying about the universe at large? And can we answer a question like that for real? And the answer is that as an astronomer, I now know we can, or we at least take a good crack at it. And I can tell you that I can be involved in the development of a telescope that can do that. It's got to be a big telescope. We got to shoot it into space. But we can make a telescope that can look for Earths around the nearest 600 stars, if there are any to be found, analyze the gases in their atmospheres, and see if there's an effect from, say, a biotic life form. It's an intriguing possibility. It's a difficult technology. It could take 20 years to implement and launch. But I think it's worth it. Well, so the last thought I'll leave you with. So Star Trek is about high-minded ideals. It's about exploring the universe. It's about grappling with moral dilemmas that we as a civilization haven't even gotten to yet. It's about exploration. And that's what the Hubble and James Webb Space Telescopes are all about. And the idea that a Star Trek episode could someday be inspired by something I do is probably the most terrifying thing I've ever thought about. So thank you.
That was Stoop storyteller Joel Green, astronomy scientist at the Space Telescope Science Institute, talking about how his obsession with science fiction led him to study the formation, birth, and destruction of planets. You can hear more stories at stoopstorytelling.com, and we have links at the On the Record page at wypr.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for listening, and if you're making plans to watch Monday's eclipse, remember to protect your eyes with the right glasses.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.